Father God, we come to you once again in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day, thank you for this hour. Thank you for your word that you put in our hearts. Lord, we are not here to hear a human voice. Here we are waiting upon you. The Holy Spirit has come. You minister to us. Give us the attentive ears to hear your word and let your word have its purpose in every one of our life. Let your name alone be exalted and be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Praise the Lord. Once again, it's my privilege to stand before God and share God's word.
Oral witness.
And before I go to the word, few things just I want to ask you. All of us are Christians. We know about cross. We heard many messages or meditated many things about the cross. Cross is the sign of your Christian. How many of you believe that? There's no reason for that. Cross is the sign of your Christian. It is not by bearing the cross, but by carrying the cross. So that's what Jesus said. If anyone wants to follow me, carry his cross, not somebody's cross. Carry his cross, not once in a while, daily, and follow. Is it clear? Yes. So we have to carry our cross on our daily basis and follow Christ. We are the followers of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We are the followers of Christ.
Amen.
So in the ancient days, even in the time of Jesus Christ, if anyone carries a cross on the street, you know what does it mean? This person has to be crucified. He is going towards death. Do you know that? So when somebody carries a cross on the street, means the world will know that person is going to die soon. They are going to nail him on the cross and put him to death. But we, as a Christian cannot be separated from the cross. Cross is the part of our life. Amen?
Amen.
There are many things we heard and I had to share, but I will not go each and every thing. But few things we have to say. And we know that mostly the meditation about the cross will be on Good Friday. The whole world remembers and meditate and give messages of cross. Very especially in the denominational church, there are seven words of Jesus Christ which he spoke on the cross that will be, all seven will be preached on Good Friday. But one thing has came to my mind, just I wanted to share with you. And one of the church when I attended, I heard the message about the cross in one of the Friday here, not on the regular Good Friday, normal Friday. The preacher was preaching about the cross, and two words he has taken. One is about the first word. Okay, how many of you remember all seven words which Jesus spoke on the cross? How many of you know? Can I see your hands? Not in sequence, but it was very much ordered, very practically And it is, they have taken, so the scholars have taken so much of effort to put them in sequence 1, 2, 3, 2, 7. But I am not asking on that sequence. All seven words, anybody knows? No. It's okay, but you are going to hear. And there, the first word was Jesus, God, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them, they do not know what they do. The second word is to the thief who is also hanged on the besides him. He said to him, Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So the preaching was based on this. What was preached? It is all about baptism. Why people are going to talk about or born again, take water baptism and all, he says, he preached that Jesus Christ, when he was standing on the, he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. So the same thing till today, Jesus is interceding on our behalf before the Father for our forgiveness. That is the one thing he mentioned it. Secondly, he said about the second word, he said to the thief, and assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So when Jesus said, he assured, verily, verily, or assured in NKJV says, assuredly you will be with me in paradise today. So that was the urgent request of a thief and immediate answer of Jesus Christ at that moment. Was he put to the congregation, where did the thief baptized? So no doubt about he saying the thief will be in paradise with him, with Jesus Christ, he assured. So in that case, where did he baptize? There's no baptism. He was defending about that. So my understanding after that, I was asking one of my brother, while going, what did you think about this message? It is absolutely wrong. Why? The first thing, he said, forgive them, those who do not know what they do. But in these days, everybody is doing, knowing what they are doing. So in that case, it is up to question. All of us, we know what is sin. If anybody is here, we do not know what is sin. Every one of us know. If we do sin knowingly, it is a sin. Nothing cannot be forgiven according to that statement. If you do commit sin without knowing, that can be forgiven. Really, those people, that time, they were not knowing about what they were doing. Till today, they were not believing that. Secondly, about the thief. He assured that the thief is in heaven. I said that, okay, if anybody wanted to go to heaven without baptism, what to do? They should be nailed on the cross and they should be hanged. I don't think anybody is preferred that way to go to hell. Am I right? This is our understanding. So in that case, let us see today, I titled the message, Overcoming Worries Through the Cross. Overcoming worries through the cross. Is there any one of us here never ever worried about anything? Anybody? I want to see that special person. I have never ever worried about anything in my life. Is there anybody? If not, this message is for you. So that's why the first word, Matthew 27, 50-53, says that these are all the two gospels mentioned above, very particularly about this. Sister, can you read 52-53?
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many.
So he speaks about verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The same thing it is mentioned in Mark 15:38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Both of them report, first of all, the veil was torn. This is where the New Testament begins. The way into the holiest. Now wide open, therefore, come only to the throne of grace. That's what the promise of this week. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come only to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is it right? You wonder? So that's why we are blessed to enter the Holy of Holies. We are blessed and we are privileged people. Before that, all of us we know, it is not possible. Only once in a while, through the priest, we have to go for forgiveness of our sins. That was the Old Testament time. So now, as we are in the New Testament time, Jesus has changed. The veil was torn from top to bottom. So heaven to the earth, it is wide open, so that all of us will enter into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of our need. So now, the remedies from the cross for our common worries. What are the common worries? Number one, worry over sin. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. This was the verse 1. And they do not know what they do. We are sinners. So we sin. Therefore, we need forgiveness. Always use the same. And
select it to a channel bus and give it to the same.
What to accept? What's I mentioned about ABC? A stand for accept. B stand for believe. C stand for confession. A stand for accept. What to accept first? Every sinner, first of all, to accept that I am a sinner. Every sinner to believe that I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior who can set me free from my sin. So one to accept the consequences of sin is death. Not the physical death, it is eternal death. That we have to accept. So to save ourselves, we need a savior. So that we have to believe that he is the only savior. Jesus Christ is the only savior who can forgive my sins. If you believe that, we have to confess our sins. So that is the basic thing of every believer. So we are sinners not because we sin. We are born sinners. We commit sin because we are sinners. Not after sinning we become sinners.
No, we have to display again.
So where are our sins now? What the Bible says? Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins return to me, for I have redeemed you. Psalm 103 verse 12. See the, you know, we have known the depth. Now you see the east-west. As far as east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, no more guilt, no condemnation. You cannot commit a sin that cannot be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you will say amen to that, that confirms that you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 So how would be our sins? Isaiah 118 says. Isaiah 118.
Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
You know what will happen to our sins? That is the promise of God. If you are worried about your sin, what the promise of God says? They are cleansed, washed, and it was put under the depth of the sea, and
everything
it was removed our transgressions to east to the west. How far the east is west to west? So to that far it was removed. And here it says, though your sins are like a scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is what God promises us. Those who are worried about our sin. If the devil reminds you of your past, remind him about his future. So when I preach this, say this, don't misunderstand, it is not a wrong preaching, or it is not giving license for us to commit sin. No. If you are a Christian, a believer, true believer, the Spirit of God is in you, you will be sensible to your sin. Those who do not have the Spirit of God, or led by the Spirit of God, they are not bothered about what they are sinning, and for them this message is they should, if they fear about it, the promise is there. If you have Christ, if you know Christ, if you come to Christ, if you believe Christ, if you confess your sins will way for everyone.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, nobody avoids sin because of the cross. Bondage all lifetime, you will not die before time. You are yes or numbered. You are the apple of God's eye. Yes, nobody about the future because of the cross. Panic knows me. All of us we know. Yes, anybody know? Do not know about her? She is a blind sister, committed her life, and as a missionary, and she was born in 1820 and died in 1915. She wrote about 8,000 hymns. The one is Blessed Assurance, to God be the glory, pass me not away, O gentle Savior, near the cross, and so on. So till today, every church, they are very much blessed by singing and worshipping these songs. So no one can forget her. So even in our blindness, she never gave up. She never worried about her life, about her past, because she loved Jesus. She gave her life. She served God throughout her life. So, when we know about her biography, we should be ashamed when compared with her love for God and love to serve Him. Secondly, worry about future. Here, the second word of Jesus Christ on the cross. Luke 23, verse 43.
As assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Assurance about the future. No need to know what is the future holds for us. It is enough to know who holds the future. Who is holding our future?
Amen.
Amen. So when I, even before that I mentioned that, do not worry about, even without God's way, none of that will fall to the ground. So those who are worrying about, so let us know and believe that they are not counted. Those who are not counted, it is for you, don't worry. So one day I will also become a bald head. Already I am losing it. This will be the case for most of us. We do not blame anybody or anything. Don't blame your age. Anyhow, let's move on. So here, our God is the Alpha and the Omega. Our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith is in God and in His Word. Our faith is not in the world or the things of the world. Our faith is in God and in His Word. Amen. So He knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 verse 10.
Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you say amen.
Amen.
So then you will remember that and you will also understand when you face such a situation in your life. Isaiah 46 verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient time things that are not yet done, say, my conscience shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So the good work God has begun in us, be confident of this very thing. Philippians 1:6 says, Paul is writing, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God has begun a good work in all of us.
Amen.
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 So without faith, we all keep moving. When I say that, I think of our sister Athene. How far and how fast she is moving from one nation to another. Even though she is origin from Nigeria, she is stationed in US. She travels a lot as a missionary, staying in different places. 10 days before, I heard that she was in Sri Lanka. After that, when I asked her today, she went to Nepal, from Nepal to Nigeria. From Nigeria, she came here all the way just to meet us. The work God has started in our life, God will accomplish it. With the grace of God, she travels around the world. Maybe twice. She goes from the world, from this side and coming on the other side. If it is not God, it is not possible with her. Amen? Again, she has the plan to go back to Nepal and to Nigeria, then states. All glory to God. God will give her the strength and God will, we will uphold her in our prayers as well. Amen? So no problem will come to that. Do not be afraid of death. God and you cannot handle together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13.
No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful.
Amen.
Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Hebrews 2:14-15. Let us open your Bibles. Hebrews 2:14-15.
In as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
So here, what we understand, the message for us is, you will not die before time.
Amen.
Our days are in his hand.
Amen.
Because very common fear and worry of mankind is what? Fear of the death. What will happen? So whenever a small sickness comes to somebody somewhere, we will compare the consequences, how, when, all these things apply to our life. And we start counting our days. No. It's not in our hand. We are in God's hand.
Amen.
Amen. So you will not die before time. Your heirs are numbered. You are the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
Yes, nobody about the future because of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
So we sang song, the Blessed Assurance. At last I will ask the choir to sing a stanza about it. Bless blessed assurance to confound our message. Okay, it's all about the future. So if anyone among us has any worry about your future, from today onwards, as we started with, Jesus has done that. The way was known from the top to the floor. We have access to enter. And he has spoken, assuredly, you will be with me in paradise. Don't imagine that you are hanging on the cross. Already God spoke and we heard much about it. We are the people of follower of Jesus Christ. We carry our cross daily. How many of you believe and confirms that?
Amen.
Because that was the call from our Lord Jesus. We have many names. First of all, he is our Father. We are his children. That is the privilege. Apart from that, we are his servants. We are his followers. We are his disciples. Every term has a specific purpose in our life. As a Christian means, Christians are known for discipline. Christians are otherwise disciples. Disciple means discipline. The whole world knows that. If we are a Christian, they will say, no, Christian will not speak like that. Christian will not do this. What does it mean? Christian, remember, Christ is in that person. Christ-like nature can be seen, not the cross of our, as we are hanging, or we are wearing in our fingers. Not wearing the cross, but wearing the cross and be the light to the world, so that the world will know through our love and our attitude that we are Christians. In a working place, we should be identified that we are Christians. Not by our name, by our attitude, by our behavior, by our relationship, by our love. Let the world know. That's what God said. Be the witnesses. To your place, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. More than not everybody can preach. Not every. At the same time, you reverse it. Anybody can preach. Knowing Christ is easy. Following Christ is not easy. That's what we teach. How many of you believe that it is easy to follow Christ? If it is easy, he may not have said that carry your cross daily and follow me. It is not easy. But we are all the followers of Christ.
Amen.
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 We are all followers of Christ.
Amen.
We should not worry about the future. That's why time and again I used to say that the difference between the worldly people, nominal Christian and a believer is only one thing. One question. If you know anybody, what will happen? Suppose if you die today, where you will be? Only two destinations. One is heaven, another is hell. If the person is not sure about his destination, he is not a qualified believer. What I mean? I should be sure about, if I die today, tomorrow, at the next moment, I will be with the Lord. That confidence should all of us should have. That is the message. Do not worry about your future. Amen.
Amen.
Let's move. Do not worry about your family. Most of us, I cannot say all of us. Most of us, we worry about our families. Our families includes of not only our children, our dependents, If we have elderly parents, yes. If we have children are not with us, yes. And also about our future. And that includes about the family needs. It will not end in short time. If you have a small children, they will grow for their education. Then after their education, their job. After the job, their life, family, looking for the suitable partner. Then after that, again it will not end. We should see our children's children, grandchildren. It's go on and on. So no one can say that I never ever have a family worries. Worry about my family. It will be there. But what Jesus said, the third word, John 19:26-27.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
Just imagine. So this message was preached several times. I preached here 2 times. And when Jesus was on the cross, hanging on the cross, just look at the mother, his physical mother. "Woman, behold your son." Maybe how he has shown, the disciple will not know. But from the cross, with that agony of pain, he said, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple, he said, maybe they must be watching him. That's why he looked at her and said, "Behold your son." And he might, the disciple should have watched him. That's why he said that, he said to the disciples, "Behold your mother." That means you take the mother, he said, he will take care of you. And the disciple said, she will take care of you. "Behold your mother." You take care of your mother and the mother. And that time, that hours, that disciple took her to his own home. You know who is that disciple? John. Okay. So God is more interested than you about your family. You understand? God is more interested than you about your family. Once one of our pastors said here, and mother came to pray for her son. "I know that you worried about my son so far. I was taking care of, I was with him, my daughter and all these things. And I worried about you, how you're going to manage." God asked her, wait. "Who was looking after your son?" "It is me, not you. Not only your son, I myself look about you and your son." So in that case, it is God who cares for us. Amen. So it is God who cares for our children.
Amen.
Whether they are with you or behind you. Some children may be very far from physically from the parents. But it is God who is with them. Take care of them.
Amen.
Provide their need. Protect them from all sicknesses.
Amen.
And meeting all their needs.
Amen.
Never ever think and boast about, I have done this, all these things. It is not you doing. It is God is doing through you to your children. So in that case, do not worry about your family. So in the Bible there are examples. Noah's family from the flood, God protected. Rahab and family in judgment, from the judgment in Jericho, it is a family. the New Testament, Zacchaeus and family, salvation for this house. And recently the message, open doors, Philippian jail. Do you remember that?
Yes.
The jail was open, the jailer's heart is open, his house is open, his household was saved. So God is concerned about whatever happens in our life. God has a purpose for it, to save the family. God is, the very beginning, God instituted family. At the same time, it is God is the head of our family.
Amen.
God is the center of our family.
Amen.
Brother Wright is the family.
Amen.
He is the head.
Amen.
He is the center.
Amen.
We are his children.
Amen.
We are his, the members of this church. Everyone are his children.
Amen.
So it is he who taking care of us. As the church started 40 years before, we are walking in the 40th year.
Amen.
We are going to thank God at the end of this year. As we are announcing 40th year celebration, means thanking God for his faithfulness for the last 40 years. God is faithful.
Amen.
In his promises.
Amen.
He is faithful in his words.
Amen.
What God promised concerning the church is fulfilling day by day. All of us sitting here, it is the fulfillment of God's promise concerning you and concerning the church.
Amen.
Amen. Not by us, not any one of you. I came to this church through this person, that person, or this occasion, that occasion. Forget about all those things. It is God who brought us. It is appointed time. And God who keeps us and minister to us, feeding us, building us. And he is building the church as well. He is the builder. Okay, because of the time we will move fast. Okay, let's go. And what's your problem? Unsaved husband? Non-cooperating wife? Disobedient children? Trouble-making relatives? One solution. Pray for them. Because God said, pray for your enemies. As I mentioned, remember the our enemies. So you pray, because God promises that if you believe in God, you and your household will be saved.
Amen.
In that promise, we are subject to Christ. Is there anyone saying no? With that assurance, you are baptized. You believe God and your household will be saved. With that condition, you are saved. So in that case, do not worry about your family. Only one solution. Pray to God according to his promise. He is faithful in his promises. So here, but rather, instead of you worrying about your family, God said, Luke 23:28, Jesus, turning to them and said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. Last days, the devil plays confusion, disaster in families. The Holy Spirit counteracts. Malachi 4:5-6.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse.
Amen. And just over. all confusion. So, Matthew 27:46, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, anything he could bear, but this separation is unbearable to him. But all the rest of the statements, this is the only question. God did not answer the question here as mentioned, but gave him grace and strength to go through the situation. All the other questions in life may not be answered. We may have many questions. Like, if you ask why, God will tell why not. If you ask why me, who then will be the answer? Why now? When then? Will be the answer. Why this? What then? God is not obliged to answer our questions, but he gives grace. Discipline of darkness. Isaiah 50 verse 10 again. Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Hear any image of that? I hope I read it clearly. You do not accept it? I do not know what to say. But John Wesley said, the greatest of all is God is with us.
Amen.
God is with us.
Amen.
In every situation, anything may change. Anything, anybody can change. Your situation can change. Circumstances can change. Your people can change. Your family can change. But if our God is with us, I say you. But the statement of God is with us always. If God is with us, nothing can stand against us.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, moving to one. Worry about the sickness and finances. John 19:28.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
I thirst. When I was preaching about the seven verses again, I said that. When she is here, just before, verse 4, my God, why have you forsaken me? I do not know how many of you remember that. But here, even though it seems to be there is no answer, I understood it in that way. The communication between Christ and the Father. Let him hear us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe God would have answered him. Yes, what else I can do for you now? Then followed by this word, I thirst. Answer to his communication towards the Father. I imagine, I assume this. It is not from any of the Bible. I am not interpreting it from somebody's or from the Bible. It is my assumption. Then God in Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God should answer to him. It is not. Heard by anyone else. Oh, that's why it is not recorded. But to answer to that, the follow-up, the second question was, I answer is from Jesus Christ, I thirst. Then after that, what happened, we know. So, scripture, my had been fulfilled, said, I am thirst. Isaiah 53:4.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted.
Believe that Christ is the savior of our body also. He is the savior of our soul. Hello?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the savior. It is not that the world believes the savior from our financial crisis or from your sickness, but God is the savior of our souls.
Amen.
And he is also savior of our body as well.
Amen.
From our sickness, he saves us.
Amen.
So believe that Christ is the savior of our body. Under normal circumstances, God will heal us in answer to our prayers, but not always. Why I say that? Paul prayed and the answer was, my grace is sufficient. Romans 8:23.
Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body.
Amen. So the answer was, God's grace is sufficient in every situation. So do not worry about your sicknesses or about your finances. So God is the provider and he saves us. Amen.
Amen.
So ours is still the mortal body. So as long as we are in our physical body, the sickness will be there. So there will be relief once and for all. Once we leave this world, when the Spirit leaves us. So because of the cross and the resurrection, we will one day experience total glorification of our bodies. Financial bodies, folks even coming suicide, Jesus. Worry not. Matthew 6:25-34. It's a big passage. In that we know, Jesus mentioned above, do not worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. Why? Ultimately, what did he say? What is the answer? Where is this? From 34.
Cut the birds.
Father knows about you. What to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. He compares. The comparison all of us are very familiar about. So that assures us. He said, do not worry about the even the material things as well. Sixthly, worry over work and our vocation. John 19:30. When Jesus has received the soul of wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. That means, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus said, it is finished. This is an assurance that he will enable us to finish our work too. Whatever God wants us to do, everything is finished. Do not worry over your inadequacy, insufficiency, or your weaknesses. If you are a student, do not worry about your studies. If you want to know the secret, come to me personally. Why you should not worry about your studies? I will tell you from my experience. So God's assignments are only according to our abilities. How many of you believe that? He can find talent, two talent, one talent. He did not ask or expect the person whom he gave one talent to make it three or five. One talent, two. Yeah. So two talent, double. So five talents, yes, he made it 10. So in that case, according to our abilities, then the talents were given. So in that case also, you do not worry about it. God knows it. God will not expect you more than you can do. That's what he said. 1:14:8. He has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. And a two-talented man may not bring 5 talents. So this is in the time of Jesus Christ what he has gone through, or the example for us to learn. So here, as a conclusion, we go on to the last word, Luke 23:46. That is his prayer. He started with the prayer. And even last also is the prayer. 23:46. And when Jesus has cried out, he allowed one, he said, Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So he started with first he said, Father. In the middle he said, my God. God is our Father. Finally he said, Father. So appreciation of fatherhood of God is the secret of overcoming all worries. What are the worries we mentioned today? Worries about your sin. Worry about your future. Worry about your family. Worry about your confusions. Worry about your sicknesses and finances. Worry over your work and vision. And all these things. One solution. He is our God. God is our Father. Amen. We are His children.
Amen.
We all belong to Him.
Amen.
1 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. You are not completing it. That's why I have to continue. I stop it. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is
able to.
What else are you not feeling? He is able. All of us may sing, he is able, he is able, he is able. For singing, you are singing good. But where did it come from? It should be your confession. If you confess it now, then it's strong. If you fill it, you will see your portion. That he is able to keep you for what I have committed to him until the day. So, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and in all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That I don't expect you to read. I know you will not read. Jude said, verse 34, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus said in John 10:28-29, sister, can you read it? John 10:28-29.
And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
You know the promise there? Jesus said, you are in his hand. He also said, we are all in Father's hand. No one can snatch us from his is added.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
Thank you. You are accepting it. So do not let worry. Worry. But worry. Worry until it worries you no longer. So once again, I repeat all seven verses. Number one. It is finished. 7. Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. So here we commit our life in the hands of God. God will take care of us. We will not worry about anything what was mentioned. God bless you.